1, 2, 3, 4. Big Val's here tonight. Real talk dynamite. Thanks for listening. It's good to be together. Stupid High Club forever. Let's look inside our minds. You never know what we might find.
Welcome to Stupid Hearts Club with me, Nico Tatarevich, on my own in a car by the sea. Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to a solo episode of Stupid Hearts Club Classic. I'm starting to really enjoy the solo ones. I know we have our little cavalcade of guests that were the meat and potatoes of the first sort of year or two of Stupid Hearts Club. The Miles Chapmans, the Alistair Griggses, the Matt Morgans, the Anna Morrises, whoever else we've had on. But I know that I always get really good feedback from a little solo one, and I often think of them as something that I should wait until I've got kind of a bit of an angle or a bit of a reflection. But I'm just sort of observing where everything's going to at the moment with all my little podcast ambitions. And I'm just going to sort of talk through some of that out loud to keep you all in check with maybe the shape of things to come in the near future. I think it's always an evolving beast. It's always important to evolve the beast. You know, those beasts by their nature is that they evolve in all sorts of interesting ways. Many of them have teeth on the outside of their skin, for example. Anyway, so what am I saying today? What I want to walk through is really, I suppose it's sort of about my excitement that things are... It's really feeling like there's a sort of universal shift type vibe happening in my life and in the podcast life. And it's now presenting itself as a real challenge. You know, if you like, the signals I've been putting out are starting to attract equivalent signals or signals of people that are interested in pursuing things that I've been saying and all that. And that's been happening since I moved to Brighton, on the level of like people doing music and nights and little bits of busking and, you know, making new friends who, like, when I said out loud I was moving, and then they say, oh, I live in Brighton, let's hang out. And so that was like the start of it. But this sort of interesting journey of me starting these offshoot podcasts of the Busking Chronicles, Tea and Empathy, has now sort of, that's bedded in as an idea. And that up the ante with me and my friend James Cooper, who is a ex-creative director and sort of has worked in a very successful sort of American tech company growing digital businesses, and he's just like up for stuff, and he's bloody smart, and he is very well connected. And we've spent the last year scratching our heads going, how can we regularly check in on some potential ideas and see if we can get them happening? So I guess in a way Busking Chronicles and Tea and Empathy were the first expression of that, which is basically, if you're listening to this as a free sort of listener, customer, you know, on where you find your podcasts, you might not know that I have a Patreon account, which is patreon.com/stupidheartsclub. And in recent times, a very nice man called Ollie got in touch with me and gave me a load of advice And I started following that advice. Well, I started 70% following that advice because I still have to fight my disorganization and sort of general tendency for slight chaos. But I reckon I'm doing all right overall. That I am always going off and recording podcasts for these new bits, and we've been assembling and putting together sort of pitches and trying to get meetings with people that might be interested in those podcasts on in a slightly deeper way. So what I want to say about the Patreon is that the point of the bonus material that I make is so that if you think that me going off and making lots of podcasts is something worthwhile and you want to support Stupid Hearts Club, you can come along and you can pay like about £5 a month. I think it ends up being about £6 if I'm honest. For some reason, the price they say then has an extra little bit on it. Not sure what, whether it's VAT or what. I don't really understand that. But anyway, yeah, for around a £5 a month, you get Stupid Hearts Club, which is like me talking or me talking to a comedy guest. You get probably two to three episodes of them a month. But then you also get episodes of The Busking Chronicles and Tea and Empathy. Again, if you're new, Busking Chronicles has become something that's very joyful to me. And because I've started going out busking and gigging for money with the intention of that being a little side hustle part-time job, because I've not got much of my old work anymore, which was script writing in the television industry, which is literally just like dried up for a lot of people at the moment and is in a very strange state. It's funny because it's like the humble act of going out and trying to just be like get 50 quid, 40 quid, even 20 quid here and there for a little busk, and using that cash has ended up being something that makes me really happy. And it also means I'm meeting other musicians all the time, and that is feeding the guest list really for the Busking Chronicles. So I've been looking at it thinking, right, okay, the other thing that's happening, well, what to finish that thought, okay, the Busking Chronicles is definitely sustainable because guests are all around me all the time, and I am doing lots of music and I am meeting lots of musicians. So that's becoming, it's sort of becoming more important than I expected, if you like, right? So what's happening with Tea and Empathy is this. I've recorded 7 episodes of that. I think I've only released 3 or 4 of them so far. There's still a few being edited. There's still a few that I've only just recorded, or that there's still people that I'm yet to interview, but I've got in the diary. And that is a wonderful little idea. It's like I've had lovely feedback from you guys that you like the nature of me talking to someone I don't know in a cafe, in a sort of environment where you can hear that it's really just two people talking face to face, like having a human interaction. Full disclosure, you know, those two podcasts have been, if you like, bonus series only available to my patrons, except I do feed the odd one in the free world just so that people know they exist and then they might want to come in and see more. But the sort of master plan behind that model is that once something is proven to be a good idea and we've, you know, it works and we've got a few episodes of it, me and James, he's called James Cooper, we're now sort of half operating unofficially under a sort of company name, which is Neat Audio, right? And I believe we've got a website live, neataudio.co.uk. At this point, this is, you know, it's like soft launch. It's like the coffee truck version of what might end up being a coffee shop. So Neat Audio, between us, we've been trying to get a bunch of things thought about, created, piloted, get proof of concept, do a load of episodes, make sure people like it, and then we're trying to get meetings with people who might be interested in becoming a sponsor or helping fund or have advertising space within those offshoot podcasts. So, like I said, full disclosure, Tea and Empathy, we're on the lookout for this won't be a surprise, but a tea brand who feels aligned with what the spirit of that podcast is. And then hopefully we can find a way of you know, convincing someone to let us have a little budget to do that even more properly than we are doing it now, and, you know, helping to turn it into a way of, you know, growing a new job, if you like, which will be being a sort of, it's a bit of a weird phrase, but an audio creative studio, right, as a business. So, you know, TBC, Tea and Empathy, has got its first meetings with potential brands to try and find out whether that can be turned into an official podcast with a backer, okay? With that in mind, I think having done 6 or 7 episodes of that, I don't think I'll keep recording them for a little while to see how we get on with the ones that we've got. However, Busking Chronicles, my list of people that want to be on it, and that just feels like it just happens naturally. Like I could meet a different person every week and do a Busking Chronicles. So I think what I'm going to do for the next little while is I'm not going to record any more Tea and Empathies. There's still 2 or 3 to come, which I will put up. But I think Busking Chronicles is almost going to be like, not like every other week, but certainly 2 a month. Because there's just that many of them, right? And it's my, like, happiest thing. So that's going to be happening more. So while, you know, when the moment comes where I sort of go, well, that's enough, you've had, like, 6 or 7 Tea and Empathies, we all get that we like that, I'm going to try and sell it. Then I've also been working on 2 other ideas with James, with Neat Audio, with a view to trying to get proper interest in them. And if you follow me here or on Instagram, you may have seen evidence of a couple of these things. One of them, I'll go away from music for a minute. One of them is with Flavor Fred, who I had on as a guest a few weeks ago. You can go back and find an episode talking about wild food. We had a nice little boozy lunch and a chat, and we really, really got on. And then we got very excited after the recording about the idea of teaming up to do a podcast that helps people be more aware of the world that Flavor Fred moves in as a forager and a wild food sort of gourmand. Do people still say that? A gastro dude, you know, and he's very up my street. He's like cool. He's got his van. He's very outdoorsy. He likes to meet up and do a sort of ad hoc thing. So we've started building up the Wild Lunch as a podcast, right? That's what it's called, the Wild Lunch. When we've got a very clever poster that looks like the Wild Bunch cowboy film. Very, very clever. But we think it's got real potential. So we are tinkering with that in the garage. And I suspect that within a month or two, that may launch as its own podcast. Again, we'll be looking for backing for that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to put up, when I've edited them, I'm going to put up the Wild Lunch sort of prototype episodes in here in Patreon, and I'll probably put one in, the best one I'll put in the wild for free, because then we can share that, can't we, and say, hey, this is the thing we're making. But yeah, I want you guys to hear it, kind of, and give us your feedback and tell us what you like about it and don't like about it and all that. And then we'll be going out to bat trying to get people interested in it. But the potential for the Wild Lunch is ace, because there's also kind of dining experiences, entertainment nights that we can have, takeovers of pubs. Like, we could get a real community who are interested in that subject that can then come and hang out with us. And, you know, I just can just really see the whole thing. And it's not unrealistic, because it's sort of what Fred already does, but it's just sort of adding a podcast so that people that like his stuff also maybe spend time with us listening to our podcast and are like, oh, that we like them too. Let's go and, you know, let's go and hang out in Hastings or Brighton or wherever and do this night at a pub where there's wild food and banter and music and a little bit of podcasting going on. Anyway, these are all sort of, they're at pipe dream stage, but we're actively working on doing them. The other one that's come out of my endeavours is because, so let's go back a bit and say, like, Stupid Hearts Club originally was a music name, and it still is a music name. I'm doing a lot of original music that's going to take a while to be ready to share, but I'm also doing a lot of why I'm doing the Busking Chronicles, I'm doing a lot of, whoring myself for coins music. I'll very happily go, and I think I'm going to be playing in the little local Italian restaurant CAF that I get on with. We're trying to figure out me having a little regular gig in there on Friday nights. I would very happily go and sit in the corner of whatever pub, restaurant, doing 2 or 3 hours of my busking covers. It's just all part of the little universe that I'm trying to create. But then, one little thing that came out of that, and this is, again, something you can go and listen to, even as a free listener, there's an episode of the Busking Chronicles about 2 or 3 weeks ago where it's an edited version of the live Stupid Hearts Club night that I put on down in Hove, the Bee's Mouth, lovely little bar. We're just growing the seeds of a little night where we get an excuse for me to play some songs, an excuse to me watch my friend Pete McGar play some songs because I love him and he's very talented, and also an opportunity to see what other like talent is around and what's transpired from doing that is that there is a sort of revolving door of like quite new acts, some of which are exist because of BIM, which is Brighton Institute of Modern Music. I think it's Modern Music. Well, BIM double M anyway. There's loads of cool little acts and people that have been coming to the night with their mates, their band's playing, their other mates are watching. Then at the end of the night, those are going to call them kids because to me they are, compared to me, they are kids. They go, can we play next time, mister? And I go, oh, that's brilliant, because that means I now can definitely put a night on. Of course you can. And then I'll look at their Instagram and they will inevitably be very talented. So, like, I always wanted to put a little night on and somewhere sort of open mic but decent quality. But immediately it's become like it's of a higher quality than I thought it would. And without blowing my own trumpet, including me and Pete, we sort of sound all right. It isn't one of those open mic nights where everyone's looking at the floor because you've got like four terrible lost souls playing music no one will ever hear. It's got a really lovely atmosphere. It feels a bit podcasty because I'm chatting away in between, which I've obviously got better at from doing this. So if any of you ever fancy coming to Stupid Hearts Club, which I actually call the night Love, Lols and Heartache, which is, Stupid Hearts Club presents Love, Lols and Heartache. That's going to be happening, I'm going to say every 2 months for now, because I forget to book it so that it's every month, but that's all right, because I'm just growing it slowly. The next one is next Thursday, which is the night before Good Friday, which I've got a feeling might be quite busy. Everyone is welcome to try and pop in to the Bee's Mouth in Hove. Start at 8. We've got our shit together a bit. I've got a card reader. It's £5 on the door. I kind of messed up the first couple of times, not taking seriously how I would sort of ask people to contribute to the night, because I'd like to give the band some money. But yeah, we're getting our act together. And the thing that came out of that, if you go back and listen to the Busking Chronicles live night episode from 2 or 3 episodes back, you'll hear the wonderful Delphine is on there being very bubbly and friendly and really good at holding the audience when she's talking, but also just a phenomenally talented songwriter and singer and producer. We've become good little buddies. And my observation, Delphine wanted to talk about podcast and like, oh, I like the idea of your Busking Chronicles thing. What's that? I could do something like that. What could that be? Blah, blah, blah. And then it sort of hit me that because there's so much young talent around and she knows all these people and she knows that world more than me, including the university, that maybe there's an opportunity to grow a really cool podcast that is really fronted by Delphine, who has got that kind of, she's younger than me, let's put it that way. And she's got that natural inclination to do like YouTube and just be really, really proactive and kind of just a bit quicker at getting on with it compared to old Grandpa Seaside over here. So we've got together and we've planned it, and then we've already, we've made a pitch, and we've gone out trying to find music people who are up for helping that be an official podcast and YouTube channel with sponsorship and all that. And that's been actively worked on, and we've got a very exciting couple of weeks coming up where we record some interviews and band sessions in proper music studios, like all shot properly and with a little bit of with a bit of support from a wonderful studio called South Lane Studios in Brighton. And it all feels like it's heading towards, you know, all these projects are growing into something that they're almost sort of not greenlit, is the wrong word, because it's not like a TV production you get suddenly like fucking £500,000 given that you've got to spend it over like the next 6 months. It's more like, it looks like we've got a little ecosystem. We've got a little ecosystem that is about to start paying dividends, and we've got to like stand up straight and deliver this stuff, and hopefully try and get it lit like a barbecue. And I'm very excited about it all. I wanted to sort of share that with you all in a bit more detail, because yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But it won't change that if you're a Patreon and you're on here, you'll still get Stupid Hearts Club solo. I'm reckoning probably one guest a month. It feels like it's struggling to get more than that, but probably two Buskin Chronicles a month and another whatever else I'm working on, right? So, you know, you'll probably get a few more tea and empties, a few more wild lunches. Whatever else we're incubating, we will share with you guys first as bonus content. And that's quite a cool little system, because it means that you lot are kind of my greenhouse or sort of nursery for trying out other things to see whether we think it's a cool idea. And I really, really value the comments and feedback and inbox messages from any of you when you are, you know, finding yourself liking or nearly liking or having a suggestion for any of the stuff that I put up. So just want to thank everyone for their input so far. In my dreams, 6 months from now, you're getting all this stuff and we're making all these other branded or kind of supported podcasts. And the thing that I hope will change is that finally the actual rhythm of when things go out, the rhythm of when of getting the audio sorted out, the rhythm of the social media promotional aspect of telling people all this stuff exists. I need some help with what it is that grows this stuff. And the irony is that, if you like, the starter dough of this whole little universe is Stupid Hearts Club. But I don't ever expect Stupid Hearts Club itself to have a big audience, because it's not a focused podcast particularly about anything. It's just it's my tag in it. It's my fucking, my trucker name. It's my handle, my prison name. But little funny laugh at my own joke there. But yeah, all freaking great, man. Like, Stupid Hearts Club will always be the little pirate startup bit of this universe. And yeah, it's really important to me. Yeah, getting all that out is good, because I suppose what it is like, this is where I've been trying to get to for a while, but it takes, you know, it takes a lot of doing stuff for no reason to get to a point where it's like message in a bottle, isn't it? You're just throwing this stuff out there and this intention out there, and then lo and behold, because you're presenting yourself or making a little attempts at certain things, you sort of then attract other people who are, you know, taking it seriously or want to get involved, or who are also doing something that you can learn from, you know, so you go and meet them, and you're just this sort of networky kind of, and I don't mean that in a businessy way, I just mean sort of human, sort of up for it, creative spirit-y kind of stuff. It's just like so massively in the air at the moment in my head and in I just think partly because of the area I've moved to, Brighton and Hove, that I feel like it's changed me on a almost like, what's the right word, you know, on an atomic level or whatever, you know? Like, it feels like my body is made from different material and my mind from the person who was very frustrated and worried about where life was going and all the rest of it. It's still amazing to me that something that I spent 18 years building up as a career and being good at, which is TV comedy, kind of script writing, gag writing, is still sort of a real head scratcher, just quite why that has disintegrated to the degree that it has. But I also, I don't really mind at the moment. I really did mind. But now I'm like, oh, I'm actually so much happier over here trying to take control of another sort of avenue, that it would genuinely be a little bit like if someone went, oh, here we go, like, here's, you now need to stop doing that and get on this TV show for like 6 months or a year. It would feel like walking away from like my babies, if you want, my baby. Oh shit, talking of babies, I didn't mention that Delphine's, did I say this already? Like, this is where my brain is sort of being a bit odd at the moment, and I don't know what I've said and what I haven't said, but Delphine's project, or the project I'm making with Delphine, is going to be called the Music Baby Podcast. Delphine, it has got sort of impish, pixie-esque, pop, dreamy pop kind of, you know, space princess sort of vibes. She's really cool, and by her own admission, she's kind of like a cute character, and we were like, the Music Baby is a really cute character. So, but she's also so smart and really understands the music business, and she just wants to help people just coming up behind her, who are just that bit younger, who are getting out into music, and very generously she wants to share that information with them. And we're seeing those people as sort of newborn music babies. So the whole idea of the Music Baby Podcast is to help the Music Baby listeners to have a resource that is a source of advice, exposure, discussion, just creative encouragement and all that, you know. And like, again, in my dream, we would end up being, it'd be so cool if we built that up into a community of people where there is a thing that exists, so that when young people are going into the music industry, there is a starting point of something that is not trying to get anything from them, and has got like impartial advice, and like, you know, just someone to talk to who's grown up and who knows what they're on about, but who isn't going to be like ripping them off or giving them sharky advice or whatever. I'm not saying that's me. I'm saying I want to build a network of people where we can help provide that. Because when I'm, as an older man who's just started doing music again, I've been just really feeling so like impressed with some of the sort of younger talent around the town, that kind of dad energy and kind of art teacher type energy pops up in me when you sort of think, fuck man, these people are like really talented, and they're going out of college and into the music industry. Like, there should be people they can trust out there. And so I'm hoping that the Music Baby Podcast ends up with a network of really cool people who can have young musicians' backs as they make their way into the music world. Like I said, that is not me. I've not worked in the music industry enough for me to have that authority, but I can help try and make that happen, right? And Delphine can certainly can help with that as well, because she's really cool and smart for her age. So yeah, that's Music Baby World. Meanwhile, as I was saying, it's a strange thing to be sitting here thinking I'm not really actively looking for or expecting phone calls about TV shows at the moment. And doing this isn't just, I don't know, what am I grasping to say here? Doing this has happened out of necessity because that's happening, but it's also turning out to be making me a lot happier anyway, right? And I really love this world. I really love audio as a medium and as a starting point. You know, like if neat audio is a thing, and we have a few shows going in the next few months, in another year or two, you can guarantee you that when the next time I have a scripted idea or an idea for a book or anything like that, that my first thought will be to try and get interest in it via the audio universe and the audio space and try and incubate things that way, rather than going to the very small handful of TV channels and commissioners. You know, it's like, grow the thing. You know, you can't help noticing, even like when I go to watch a decent new box set or movie, a lot of the best stuff has actually grown out of existing IP. In other words, adapted because someone's written a brilliant book, right? So I just started watching Slow Horses on Apple TV. I'm only about 3 episodes in and I'm like hooked. And I have no doubt that someone theoretically could come up with that as an idea for a TV show and just pitch that and get it made somewhere in the world. That will and has happened before. But there's something very attractive to me about the fact that the person who created Slow Horses did so themselves by being a bit of a slow horse and writing a bunch of really good books. That it's like the most detailed and intimate version of that idea that can ever exist is the books. And I'm really interested in the idea of audio. It, using the term very broadly, the idea of audio books or audio storytelling as a starting point for things that then people go, well, that's great. What could that be now? That could be a show, a live show. It could be a play. It could be a film. It could be a box set. Every idea has different levels of potential. It's a very odd thing. You know, when you are a writer and you come up with a new idea and you think you've got a little world, you might discover that the idea that you think's massive actually is no bigger than a sketch. But then you might discover that it, you know, there's the potential for a real deep dive into something. It's an idea that is worthy of a novel. Other ideas, you think about them and they end up being a little bit shorter, and there is a short story version of it to be told. And I love that. I don't ever want to fall out with coming up with ideas and wondering what they are. Just because TV went quiet for 2 years, I'm not going to like sulk and stop being creative. I just feel like I want to sort of funnel and protect ideas at the beginning and do as much as I can with them myself, or with the sort of immediate opportunities around me in that audio space. Anyway, I'm fucking sounding like I'm doing a TED talk now on audio, and I didn't really mean to, but this is where my head's at and it's where everything's at. And, you know, a really small sidebar to that actually is, and I know I don't have to like explain myself or justify anything, but it's fair to say that maybe a year ago or like in the summer, the thing that had the sort of most attention on it was when I was on a Matt Morgan episode, or he would, you know, and then we'd cross pollinate and he'd come on mine, and the feedback we get as a funny double act was really encouraging. It's been massively instrumental in making me think this is a medium that I love. But our sort of first couple of attempts to sort of wonder how we grow that. I love it when we, for example, when we do a live night. I really hope we do more of them, and I hope to do many more funny pods with Matt. But I have realised that really what I've got to do is grow this little universe separate from whatever Matt and I ever do or don't do. And, you know, he knows this, but part of that is just like, that's his world anyway, right? Matt Morgan podcast is his thing. I'm always here if he wants to, you know, when he has an idea and says, why don't we try this, or could we go off and do a few little nights somewhere? I'm like totally up for that. But yeah, all this other stuff has sort of been born out of me really just desperately needing a new fucking job and having to build a reliable way to try and generate some work and some income. So I hope you all wish me luck. But when people put ideas on Matt's podcast saying, oh, why don't you put your own Patreon up together and why don't you do this and why don't you do that? At the moment, I've just got all this shit in front of me that I've got to figure out for neat. And that's sort of where my energy's going at the moment. But I really, really, yeah, like I said, I don't want to over egg the pudding, but Matt gives me a ring and says, do you fancy doing a funny podcast? And I want to be doing that because it is so fun when we are bouncing off each other. So hopefully there's always going to be room for that. It was really fun hanging out the other week when he came to see me, and what we recorded was really funny. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be like every other thing that both of us does is with each other, but it was really funny the other week, especially following him around with a microphone in supermarkets and stuff. And then us talking shit once we got back from the pub where only I was drunk. But it was very funny, yeah. And it was good to see a little twinkle in his eye. Hello. It is another day since the last bit that you just listened to. I've done a naughty again, haven't I? And there's been a bit of a gap with me putting a podcast up, because I've had so much work on, but I'm dropping 3 episodes this week, so I hope that makes up for it, so that by the time the month ends, I will have delivered my customary 5, you know, the 5 episodes that I try to offer. And then either in April or in May, I might turn Patreon off for a month so I could just go off and do all my birthday stuff and not worry about delivering. And I'm still collecting episodes. There's lots more to come. But I might just have a little 1 month break, and it'll mean that you get a break from paying, and hopefully you'll stay, so that when I turn it on again a month later, we attack and move and fire and move and fire again. Anyway, so I've just spent the last 30-odd minutes explaining what I'm doing in podcast, and that's all well and good, but it isn't, it's not funny, is it? So, I don't know if I have got anything funny to tell you. Let's just fucking ramble on for a bit and see what happens. I think of what I will tell you, 2 things. This weekend just gone, I drove all the way down to Devon, to Tavistock. I've never been there before. Don't know if I'd even really heard of it before. I've heard the word Tavistock, but, you know, only in accordance with, like, the names of buildings or pubs or roads or whatever, or squares in London. Tavistock itself is an absolutely gorgeous little town in Cornwall. Not Cornwall, fucking hell, I'm such an idiot. In Devon. And it's really sweet. And they have got a venue there called Tavistock Wharf. And I went down and joined Oasis Supernova to support them. Did like a 35-minute little indie cover set before they went on. And I think it's the most I've ever enjoyed singing and playing guitar solo in front of a crowd. I think by the time I finished my set, there's probably about 300 people in the room. I think that's the most people I've ever played to. And I was buzzing my tits off. Yeah, it was amazing. And even though I'm only in a gig like that, I'm basically playing to backing tracks. Sometimes I make them, sometimes I download them. But when I'm in that situation, if I'm busking or in just in the corner of a pub, I'm perfectly happy to do that. But actually, when you are going to be followed by a band, a full band, who are really on it and sound really professional and brilliant, as is the case with Oasis Supernova, I got to admit, I had musician envy, and I really wished that I was singing the songs that I had in my set with a band. saying that, being a little bookable solo thing is the mission I've set out on, and it does mean that you get paid a fee, which, you know, then goes some way to helping feed you the next week. So thanks, lads. That was so good. Especially Ian, who is the person that approached me in the first place and seems to do a lot of the organising and that. I highly recommend, if you're an Oasis fan and you're missing not being able to see them live, I highly recommend going to see Oasis Supernova. It is a top night out. They make a real effort. They've got like mad kind of videos that they've made and stuff, and like a video screen. But more importantly, the standard to which they play those songs is very high. And I've seen them twice now, and they were great both times. But the sound and the vibe in the Tavistock gig was really good. And I was like, fuck, man, it was going off. Like, people were bouncing around, like, you know. So, yeah, I take my hat off. I the reason I do the Busking Chronicles as a sidebar podcast is because I'm just intrigued with how you can have music in your life in a way that is still a hobby, but that also might help you survive a little bit. And I've now seen up close what that world is. I've always been a bit intrigued and not really been very sure about the tribute world, if I'm honest. But I am intrigued by it, right? But so I've had a good close up look, and it's like, it's fucking not a bad way to spend your time and get paid and monkey around and go on a trip with your mates and, you know, play live music for people who then enjoy it. It's fucking great. So, yeah, that was great. I want to do more of what I did. I had a great time, up a bit late. We stayed in like a kind of holiday lodge thing. It doesn't sound very rock and roll, because it wasn't. It was a bit like where the family stay in Dirty Dancing, you know, in wasn't exactly a... I don't think there was, like... I don't think Dirty Dancing was actually happening there, although there might have been some, but there was definitely a little pub and a load of lodges, and it was a bit like being on holiday in a sort of Teletubbies landscape. And the little chalet that we stayed in, three of us were, you know, we had a room each, and it was... very smart, but it was funny because it was like, you know, when people do up places just for like use, like Airbnb or whatever, there's a very sort of uniform way of decorating places that is a bit like your Auntie Carol, isn't it? With, you know, vases from TK Maxx and potpourri and, it's a weird untouched feeling in a place that is well maintained but for rental. I think I prefer, if you've ever done an Airbnb, I sort of prefer somewhere really lived in. Yeah, I went to this place in Brooklyn once with my then girl, and went on this trip to New York and stayed in an Airbnb in what was the area? I can't remember. I'll remember in a minute. Anyway, we're in Brooklyn. Williamsburg in Brooklyn. I know nothing about New York, or I didn't know anything about New York. So, but everyone said, yeah, Brooklyn's really cool in itself, you know. And surely enough, it was a really cool area with loads of stuff going on and loads of great food and bars and whatever. But the Airbnb was really fucking smart. And this was an interesting person whose shelves were heaving with books and art and just interesting stuff from his travels. And that guy, I believe he was called Jared. If you do a search for on Airbnb for an apartment in Williamsburg, and there's a dude that owns it called Jared, then it'll be the same guy probably. Really fucking cool apartment. But I've never done this, but I kind of I know that there's a bit of a double-edged sword with Airbnb, but I was quite jealous of the way Jared was living his life, and I feel like it's not something that I've got in my mind at the moment, because I don't own anywhere to Airbnb it, right? But what Jared was doing was he was basically going, oh, do you know what? I might go and stay in like London for 3 months and do some work and hang out with some people there and see what London's all about. Airbnb's is his gaff for however many months, and just goes and fucking lives somewhere else, possibly through the Airbnb network as well. And I just thought it was a really smart way of being able to sort of live and work and sort of be in dual locations or multiple locations. I really like that nomad kind of idea, and I'd love to do that with an eye on doing music in places as well. And, you know, like a lot of the work we do these days is remote, but I feel very tied to where I live at the moment in Brighton, and obviously all the podcasts I'm doing, at least a couple of them, well, certainly while we build up the wild food one, I kind of need to be, for the next few months, in a routine of going off and doing adventures with Fred. But in the long run, I do like the idea. I think the version of it that I really like, right, and I think I've said this before, but I'm just going to repeat myself. Has anyone else done this, right? That's what I'm asking. Has anyone else done this, right? You basically have a system going where you've got somewhere else that you can go to for the winter and hang out and live there and sort of like have a little different section, like a season of your life. So my dream is that I go, when it's winter here, I go off to where it's warm and I get paid to sing for like 2-3 months, you know, around my other freelance bits. And then when it stops being miserable and cold here, I come back. And in that model, you would ideally Airbnb your gaff out, but I'm renting, so I wouldn't do that. I know some people just say, oh, don't you just put it on sublet it, no one will find it. But I'm not capable of running like a little scam like that without feeling like I'm going to get caught and then I can't relax. But maybe at some point I'll have my own little property, and that might be what unlocks it. But yeah, does anyone else, I'd like to know, on whatever level, does anyone else have their little hack that is a way of creating a sense of freedom in their life? I mean, I know most of us are just tied to jobs. I get that. But especially post-pandemic, there's definitely been a recalibration of how we feel work should fit into life. And I also feel that it's a bit of an age thing as well. Like, I've been freelance for years, so this doesn't really chime with me, but I'm 50 in a month, right? And more than ever, even though I know I've got a lot sort of responsibilities and I'm trying to grow a little business and all that, being 50 and thinking, right, if I've got to like still work for another sort of 20 years, I've not like made enough money to be cushy and just be like playing fucking golf and going off on holidays and that. I've never made like a decent amount of money. But what I value more than anything is time, right? So what I want to the next, well, from now until I don't have to work anymore, I want it to be sort of just happy enough and varied enough. As long as I'm just about surviving and I'm doing things I like and there's freedom to spend time here and spend time there and there's little hacks about going off, you know, the van might end up being a very big part of that. The van plan is slowly in action now. But that, I guess what I'm saying here is, and I'm just fucking feeling this out for myself, when I was in Devon this weekend, it's a pretty long way, and there was a little stop off to have a cup of tea with a friend halfway down. Hello, friend. And there, you know, was an overnighter, which was paid for, but if it wasn't, I could have just like found a nice location, kipped in the van. What I would like to have done on the Saturday, because the gig was Friday night, I'd already made plans for Saturday, so I had to bugger off. But what I'd actually like to do going forward, go somewhere, play a gig, get paid, stay the night, wake up, have breakfast in whatever that town is, find a good spot, which you hopefully can research first, to have a little busk, make yourself whatever, a few quid, 50 quid. And then after that, you know, be there like for the morning and the after, whatever, into lunchtime, get in the van, bugger off to the next place that's, say, like within 2 hours that also is a nice place, and go, right, well, I might camp here tonight, find out where the good busking spot is here, again, park up somewhere, kip the night. You're basically driving halfway home but stopping somewhere interesting to busk again, and then do the same, repeat the same thing, wake up the next day, have your breakfast, go for a busking spot, have a look, say hello to the locals, and put your nose in the local cathedral, the museum and all that, and then get in the fucking car, a gorm, which means that your journey home from a gig, say like I earn 200 quid at a gig, I can earn another 100 quid on the drive home, which covers your petrol, you see. So these are the things I'm thinking about. That and the other thing is, it's like, oh, I've got some work to do on Wednesday, but if I've got to do a little bit of work for this movie trailer company. Well, I can sit in a cafe or I can sit in my van and do that work and then pop out and do a busk and whatever. And it's sort of like, I wouldn't want to live forever like that. I mean, no, van life is supposed to be about, you know, a lot of people, well, a fair significant number of people try out living like that full time. I ain't got that in me. But breaking up your month, your week, with 2-3 day jaunts where you go off, do some music, top up your cash, that sounds like a fucking mighty fine way to live. And by the way, it's also brilliant, because I love talking to people face-to-face with podcast. I'd say that is a good enough reason. I'm not against remote podcasts, but I've got shit Wi-Fi at home anyway. But as soon as I get the van, if I'm talking to someone interesting, like, I'm just going to throw this in the air, even though I don't know him that well. David Earl lives down in Devon, for example. He's a good lad. I'd love to say it to David Earl or someone else like that. I'm also currently working with Mike Keats, doing some writing for him. Mike Keats is the lead, you know, sort of comedy character and breakdancer in the nationally famous Cuban Brothers, which is a very funny, very entertaining live show featuring breakdancing and comedy that's been going for bloody years, 20-odd years. I had no idea how that man is still breakdancing when I can barely put my shoes on. But yeah, he's a great lad, doing a little bit of work for him, which is nice. But let's say I said, you know what, Mike Keats, you're a fucking dude. That was really fun working with you. I might come up to wherever he lives. I think he's somewhere in the Edinburgh region. Work my way up, do a little bit on the way, Manchester, fucking Newcastle. Go to Edinburgh, hang out, do a podcast and get a gig and do some busking. And then mooch your way back via various little stops. All of this is just me avoiding 5-hour drives that hurt my hamstrings. But I think that's a good enough reason. Swapping guitar strings for hamstrings. Why are they called hamstrings? Yeah? And I mean, that went quiet then, like you're going to answer me, didn't I? That's the sort of thing that works better in a two-person conversation, isn't it? A question and a pause. Go on then. Go on then. Why are they called hamstrings? No, it doesn't work, does it? Indeed. Right, now, can I just say, feeling very fucking smug today. It's a little bit windy here. I'm still in my car, and my parking permit zone is Zone N. N for nickel. What I love about this parking zone is that it includes the seafront. It's pretty rare anywhere in the country, I reckon, to be able to just park on the seafront and not pay top dollar, innit? Because when people, you know, any resort or whatever, you go, oh, look, go down to the sea and you want to park, it's like, yeah, right, you're not getting a space down there. You have to go in the expansive go park. But here, right near my home, I can literally, when I come back from a long journey, there's something very, very, very satisfying about, well, I could park in front of my house, but it's usually the spaces have gone at night. So across the road in the car, I don't cross the road carrying my car. And I park next to the seafront and you turn the engine off. And as soon as the engine stops, you just hear the sea. And I just start to calm down immediately. And I think it's quite a weird thing to drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and then go, I'll stop here, because you can't drive any further because otherwise you'd be in the water. Like James Bond with a car that goes in the water. But it is beautifully relaxing. So I've got into the habit already. That's why I can't wait. Another reason I can't wait to have the van. When I park here and I sit in this car, I quite often don't get out of the car for a bit. I've talked about this before. It's actually a very good decompression vessel. Does anyone else like relaxing in the car? I know it's a bit of a thing, like when you've got like young children and they're bonkers and you come back from work or anywhere, if you're out, it's like little G up, turn the engine off. Just fucking have a little moment and then go in the house and be attacked by your children. I used to do that, got to admit it. Otherwise you go in and it's like carnage and people get wound up and forget themselves and get all grumpy when actually the person looking after the children already is already stressed. So you need to enter that house with being helpful on your mind. A good way of doing that is relax before you go through the door. I am a person that when I walk through my front door, even when I live on my own, I'm not relaxed when I first come through the door. I am oddly wound up. I want my bag off my shoulders. I want my shoes off. I want my coat off. The door locked. Wallet put back in the, you know, the man drawer cupboard. And that sort of 2 minutes where I'm not yet sat down going, oh, I'm home, I find that really stressful. I'm told that's quite common in ADHD circles. I mean, and it's the same leaving the house. I swear my way out of the house every fucking day. And it's like, you know that thing, if anyone's old enough to remember when Mike Reed was on EastEnders, can't remember what his character was called, maybe it was just Mike, and he used to hold the bridge of his nose and go, oh, Pat, Pat, darling, darling, darling. He was just stressed in his head and he needed to grab his own eyes. I feel like that trying to get out of my house every single day. I just find it overwhelming trying to remember bag, keys, wallet, headphones, phone. I'm already hating just saying that out loud. I don't know. I need a butler. Would you have a butler? I'm doing it again, asking you a question. I'd love to be rich enough to have, I don't know what, I don't want someone like having make all my tea and whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to have an assistant that you could just say, I'm not going to say Jeeves, Cliff. So just go Cliff, not Cliff Richard. No, actually, let's make it Cliff Richard. I'll fucking show him. Right, Cliff. Fucking lording it all these years with your weird presented asexual Christian fucking bullshit veneer false personality that you've built on top of whatever it is that we don't know, whatever could it be, right? Cliff. Listen, Cliff. This vestibule stresses me out. So from now on, when I come through this door, I'm going to be firing a text to you 5 minutes before. And what I want to happen is you'll be waiting outside the main door of my flat. And I'm just going to fucking drop my bag on the floor and my coat. I'm just going to drop it on the floor. You're going to open the door, Cliff. And I will just walk in. I'll go straight in my bedroom and shut the door because I don't want you coming in there for whatever reason, Cliff. Unsubstantiated. Not. I'm not saying anything. Just saying. I will go in my bedroom, Cliff. You must not come in my bedroom. You must harvest my external accoutrements back into man drawer, coat cupboard, shoe rack. Open the kitchen window a bit. Open the little living room window a bit. Let a bit of air in. And maybe put the kettle on. Put the kettle on. Put the tea bag in the cup. Make sure there's milk. And make sure there's a spoon for me to make the tea. I don't want you, Cliff, making the tea. That's not what this is about. I don't want you coming in going, oh, here's your cup of tea. Here's your cup of tea. Oh, here's your cup of tea. Hey, it's just me again. Oh, got myself a crying, walking. Hey, look, I'm not even got any music. I'm just singing. Living doll. I don't want any of that shit. Cliff, just get the fucking kettle on. Get the tea bag in the fucking cup. Hang me coat up and fuck off. And I'll tell you. You tell me, Cliff, why you in 2008, I'm not saying there's anything suspicious going on, I'm not. I know that your home was raided and searched and nothing came of it, so you were then able to sue people and carry on with what would appear to be your completely innocent life, Cliff. Anyway, in 2008, Cliff, you did an article, an interview in the Daily Mail, where you presented to the world your friend and companion who lives with you, and it's because it just works to live with a mate. And he was an ex-priest who is your companion. He's just my companion, and there's absolutely none of my business, Cliff, who you live with. All I want is a fucking tea bag in a cup. I want my fucking coat hung up. I don't want to know what your arrangements are with ex-vicar fucking whoever he is. Some bloke that you just thought, do you know what would be good today, actually, mate, flatmate, who's my mate? Do you think we should ring the Daily Mail and just fucking tell them that we're mates and that we live together? Why would we do that? The other one's saying. Oh, I don't know where he's from. I'm going to do a bad Irish accent. I don't know why I'm doing an Irish accent. I'm not besmirching anyone. I'm not even sure if the guy's Irish. I'm already regretting it, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to commit. Oh, I don't know, Cliff, whether we need to be telling the world that we're friends that live together in your big house that was raided to no avail. And now I just sound like blind boy. So I'm not going to do that anymore. He's not from Ireland anymore. He's Welsh. And I apologise to Welsh people. It's a funny one, accents now, isn't it? You've got to be careful what accents you do. But I'm going to do Welsh, fully aware that I am and broadly doing Welsh without knowing what bit I'm doing. That's on me. I'm a shit. I'm being regionalist. I'm not honouring the complexity of the Welsh, melange of accents and dialect styles. Oh, I've just talked myself into a corner now. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Oh, Cliff. Just tell you what, Cliff, this isn't working. This isn't going to work. I do still want help enter in my house and putting all my stuff away because it just fucking stresses me out. But I just don't know if the answer to that question is having Cliff Richard turn up to stand outside my front door every time I come home. I'm really sorry, Cliff. It's on me, that. That's my bad, that. I asked you to come here, but I'm going to have to let you go, Cliff. I am. I'm going to have to let you go. And I am sorry for wasting your time, even though I've got a bit of an odd feeling about potentially whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's none of my business, is it? But I just hope, Cliff, that you are the man you say you are. That would make me very happy. Now, fuck off, Cliff. Sorry about all that. Yeah, I'm putting that out. That was fine, isn't it? Legally, I've not said anything about anyone there. I just don't want Cliff Richard fucking hanging around my front door. Do you? I've done it again, I'm asking you, aren't I? Right, I think I've fucking run out of road here. I've run out of road. Let's just take a minute to listen to the seagulls. Hang on. I'm very, very smug about parking on the seafront. Listen to that. You've been listening to Stupid Hearts Club. I've enjoyed having a little solo catch-up with you. I'm sorry that you waited an extra week for this episode. I am going to drop a Buskin Chronicles and a Tea and Empathy in the days following this solo episode. And then I will make an announcement. Maybe I will pause April because I feel like I need a little bit of time to catch up with some episodes. And birthday month is a good month to... Ooh, there's a dog. Birthday month is a good month to recalibrate. So I'll make an announcement on the Patreon. Guys, it's been wonderful. I want you to just have a little listen to the sea for a minute now. Thank you. You've been listening to Stupid Hearts Club. So much more to come, my lovelies.
Okay, so it might be that. Like,